Amar bil ma'ruf nahy 'an al munkar is a complete command on its own. And tazkir, to remind, and to make nasiha, to advise somebody. These are two complete things, but normally we confuse them and we put them all together in the same dish, that they are all one. For amar bil ma'ruf nahy 'an al munkar, authority is a prerequisite. Without authority, you are not even allowed to do amar bil ma'ruf. Like, for example, parents have got or are supposed to have authority over their children. Today, generally, parents haven't got that authority also on children. Children rebuke their parents. They just tell them on their face, we are not going to do this. We are not prepared to listen. Generally, children have become like that. So there also, there is no allowance to do amar bil ma'ruf. And amar bil ma'ruf is a special department of the Islamic government, the Khilafat, Islamic Khilafat. There is one shoba, one department of that, which does in Saudi Arabia do. The government does this for many things. Women who drive around, they stop them. Women who walk around without parda, Arab women especially, they stop them, etc. So that is the government's duty. Not every person has got the right to do that. That's a duty, and there are more requisites which are written in our Kitab, in the Kitab Nurul Anwar, the Usul, the principles. It is explained quite elaborately there, and many other Kitabs also. So that is one. So the person who has got authority, if the husband has that authority over his wife, then he does amar bil ma'ruf. But if he hasn't, the wife, she packs up her bags and she goes away home. You went and tell her to make namaz, she packed up her bags and went home. You got sitting with bigger problems. In all cases where you cannot, you don't have that authority, and that submission from the other person. Like I explained last week, one ustad of our students who didn't learn their sabaks or whatever, came late to class, he chased them and told them, 3 days you don't come to class. 3 days they went to Joburg, they were watching films all the time. So what benefit was there? More harm came. So where the student or the subordinate, your child, whoever, they've got that love, that respect, and they listen, there you give a command, it has got its desired effects. But where that does not exist, and the thing is, what we explained also last week, that Maulana Muhammad Ilyas Rahmatullah Ali said, first make the tawa hot, and then put the roti on. Now when you give a command, you don't even have to give up, you just show your dislike, and the person responds. So that is for that. And if that is not the case, then what we have to do, which we have to do, is to remind in a nice, suitable way. And also to make nasihat, to advise. That we have to keep on doing. As far as the reminder is concerned, Allah Ta'ala says, وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ ذِكْرَ تَنْفَعُنَا. Keep on reminding. Reminder is beneficial. And our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali says that you will benefit the most yourself when you have reminder, because your ear is the closest to your mouth. Your ear, the next person's ear is further away, but your ear is the most closest, and you also are mu'min. So by your reminder, you will get reminded also. Also, our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali used to say that many people who say that it's no use telling people, say that those people should read their kalima. Because unless it's a reminder, it's beneficial, and you are saying it doesn't help to tell anyone. So you are speaking in direct contrast to the command of Allah and to the words of Allah Ta'ala. So a reminder is beneficial. A deenul nasiha. What is deen? Nasiha, to advise people. Liman, for who is this nasiha? For everyone. So a person makes nasiha. So a person, when somebody is doing wrong today, and you don't have the authority, and you impose on the person, that is when pride can come. That is when you do it with a holier than thou attitude. But humbly, you speak nicely to the person, inshallah, with that pride won't come. You are doing it fair, fine, goodness of the person. Also in this, we should understand what in our Tabligh Jamaat work, though many times we read the ayats also to show the importance of Tabligh, the ayats of Amar bil Ma'ruf wa Nahi. And if you don't do Amar bil Ma'ruf wa Nahi al Munkar, what the harms will do. But the usur of Jamaat work is not to do Amar bil Ma'ruf. That somebody hasn't got a beard, you don't tell him, I keep a beard. You carry on. And mashallah, they keep prayers in due course. Women coming to parda, people start making their namazas without you directly telling them. But that doesn't mean that there isn't a command of Amar bin Ma'ruf. But the Tabligh Jamaat is a humble Jamaat. Humble brothers, humble Jamaat. So they don't impose on anyone. Results come. And that is what we want, the results. But they don't do. The usul of Jamaat is not to do Amar bin Ma'ruf. And not to do, there is a wedding carrying on, your Jamaat went one town, and they're having a video in there, music, and you go in there, and you tell them, hey, all this haram, stop all this here, and you start breaking the video cameras and all that. What will happen? No, there you work in a very humble way, and inshallah, over time, things do change, hopefully, inshallah. So we are, that is one difference that we must understand. Another very, very important thing also is, which came out from that letter, which was humorous also, that that lady who phones with her dreams, and she says, your dream girl. So there can be two interpretations, one of that also, that the lady, that the humorous, if you take it in that sense. Now, who can understand it in the right sense? Those people who are present. Those who are not present or who don't know. Like, for example, the person, like many khankas, all lot of wrong things also happen. So we might be thinking the chef got a dream girl also and all that. That also, but the person who knows, he will understand it in the right way. Just like the example of that father who is lying on his bed to sleep at night, and he tells his son, Muhammad, bring me water. So, in what will Muhammad take water? You will understand, my father wants to drink water, in a glass, he'll go, he gives water. Now, on a Sunday morning, Saturday afternoon, in our culture, father is standing by the motor car outside, and his sleeves are rolled up, and he shouts, Muhammad, bring me water. So, he sees, my father is standing by the car, his sleeves are rolled up, and says, my father wants to wash the car. So, he will bring water in a bucket. But a person who is not present, you see it on internet today, you read it in kitabs, and the father told the son, bring water. So the words are the same, but it could be possible now you interpret it that when he's lying on the bed, you go with a bucket of water. And when he wants to wash the car, you go with a glass of water. So only those who are present can understand it. So like that, to understand being on its own, that sohbat, that company is present. And that is why you have to stay with people who got deen in their lives. So we were studying in German, some students of South Africa were studying in Durban. They came there to finish their latest studies there. And just before that, some modernist person with weird ideas of deen came and poisoned their minds, or he tried to poison their minds. There were three, four things they were saying, but one I remember, that when Hazrat Usman, Sayyidullah's wife, daughter of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when she passed away, when Ali died the great, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told Hazrat Usman, go down to your wife. Now, he was putting a complete wrong interpretation in the mind. Now, a person who knows Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, knows the Sahaba, he'll know that when you fix up the grave, whatever, he's the mahram, like, though after nikah now, whatever had to be done, he was the closest, let him whatever had to be done, we'll do that. But now he put a complete, what's the terrible interpretation? So who can understand the correct, the people who are present and who know the visage of those people? Otherwise you'll take a complete wrong interpretation. And that is the understanding how important sohbat is. To understand deen, be 100% sure, you will never understand deen from theory, from bayans or anything. When the mizaj of deen, you know, what is the requirement that can only come when you stay with the people who have deen. In fact, so much so that by the Wahhab Sahib, Dhamad Barakat will say, the mizaj of the tabligh, you will never get it if you don't know Urdu. If you just in English, the ta'aleem is in English, you listen to translations and that mizaj of the tabligh will not come into a person. And who he told this to? Maulana Sayyid Khan Sahib. And I personally heard, when Maulana Sayyid Khan Sahib was talking to his children in Arabic. Arabic is our language of Quran, of Hadith, of Jannat, our Nabi Son of answer then. But he said that the word, to understand the visage of the place, your children and those grandchildren, if they don't know Urdu, they won't get it. Just like that, one student of ours told us that when they go in Jamaat for 1 year, many students from different madrasas go from around the world. They saw that those students who don't know Urdu, they don't get the visage of our Urdu. Because they don't get it direct, it's all by translation. And we know in translation many times it's understanding, the translator doesn't translate, these people also just sit in there, one, two words here and there, or he says his own thing, whatever it is. So proper visage doesn't come. So being also, until you don't stay, and who is called a buzurg? A buzurg is not one who boozes and roars. A buzurg is a person who has got deen in his hand. And you stay with him, the deen, the nature of deen, visaj of deen will come. Like for example, today many of us are quite content. We were born in a Western world, we grow up with a Western visaj. And our whole life, we make namaz also, we go Hajj Umrah also, we go Jamaat also, we come Khanqah also. But the mizaj of deen, like for example, that Friday, to honor Friday, it's a public holiday. It doesn't come to our mind. Not only that, we find it's not practical, we're not living in that, but it hardly comes in our mind that Juma we must give it that preference, etc. Qurbani days come, there's no mizaj of Qurbani. Yes, we get our Qurbani, we send money away, and we get it done. Or we also just slaughter, but it's just, but that visage, that thing to the person, come into a person. One is a person, the person sees the Kaaba Sharif in a picture, and one is by Kaaba himself. What is that? One is, you see Rozai Mubarak, and in fact you see the inside of Rozai Mubarak in a picture. And one is to be present there. What a difference. When we were studying in Durban, in those days, 40 years ago or so, there was a certain court case which made headlines, came in all the newspapers. Our Mufti Mahmood Sahib, Rahmatullah, explained to us there. That was that according to Hindu religion, the eldest son inherits everything from his father. He becomes the sole inheritor. He inherits. That is according to Hindu religion. The younger son, there were two brothers, the younger son made a case against him. And the case was that I'm the eldest son. Now everyone knows who is the eldest son. But just look and also remember that intelligence, when it's used for good purposes, for right things, then it's called intelligence and cleverness. But when it is used for a wrong thing, then it is called shrewdness. And it is when that you are shrewd and, what's the other word?
Cunning.
One other word also, anyway, or whatever, there may be so many words there are. Then it's not intelligence. So for us, many times we think that non-Muslims are very clever, what they mean. They are not clever. They just got, يَعْلَمُونَ ظَاهِرًا مِنَ الْحَيَاةِ. Outward things of dunya they know. And many people who do wrong business, and say, he's sharp. He's doing haram, and he's making, he's coining it. But that is not his intelligence. That is cunningness, that is shrewdness, etc. So anyway, this young boy presented his case, made a case against his elder brother, that I'm the elder brother. And how he proved it? He said, and he went with a tube into the courtroom. You've got a tube there, and you put two balls in it, in the tube. So he said, this first ball that came out, and from which the first son was born, who's the eldest son, he was born. But which is more longer living? The ball of the man. That is living more longer than the ball in front. And I came out from the ball from the back. So I'm older. Then it came in the head of the judge. And whatever, how you present your case and there, that is how judgment is made. And he gave the decision in his favor. Now the whole world knows it's not like that. So just like that, matters of deen, the whole of deen, and tafsir particularly, whole of deen also. Tafsir, that tafsir is acceptable, which was made by Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Sahaba al-Kiram, the ulama, the fuqaha, the mufassirin, that tafsir. Today, a person who studies in a Western university, in a Western country, or Western university in a Muslim country, whether it is Medina University, whether it is so many universities in Pakistan, But they're all Western universities. And you study Deen and you come with a new tafsir from them. Now that is contrary to all this. For example, we were having meals last week and our friend Jaffer, who was here from Australia, he explained that, well, I've seen that so many people who go to university, the first thing that happens, that the concept of Jahannam, they cannot accept it. That can there be so much of azab? And can, otherwise some go to the extent say, can Allah be so cruel, na'udhubillah? All those things, all the, some people have made tafsir of Jannat and Jahannam is like a dream, imagination. It's not reality. So all these kind of things. Then also the other thing which comes commonly, that Islam's laws with regard to women are very hard and very strict. It shouldn't be like that. So all, there are many more things, capital punishment. All this also, many people cannot accept it. We find it to be too hard. So it's a, so they make their own tafsir. And today not only own tafsir, but many people have made their own Quran. The Americans made their own Quran in which they took out ayat of Quran Sharif, of jihad, etc. All that they took out, which they, that Quran, they distributed it so much in Kuwait, etc. But nobody can change the Quran. Always Allah will keep those kuffars alive, that the word zabar zir of the Quran will be protected till the day of Qiyamah. And the meaning of the Quran, always Allah will keep those ulama alive. You can call them conservative, that type of ulama, backwards, but there will be always those ulama that Allah will keep. It's not their command, but Allah chooses whom He wants to for the correct understanding of deen. So the whole of deen also, the correct understanding of deen. And then tafsir also, not our modern time tafsir. That's even so much, just Quran Sharif has been protected, the tafsir, that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if a person gives his own opinion, and it's the correct opinion, but that person also goes to jail. You can't give your own opinion, whether it's correct or incorrect. You have to give that tafsir which has been coming from Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam till today. That is the acceptable. Yes, some points which Sufiya and other ulama have made, that's not tafsir, that is to get the benefit out of the Quran. But tafsir of Quran Sharif is that which has come down and which has been narrated. A new picture of Islam today, which is becoming common, modern type of Islam, watered down type of Islam, easy Islam, which unfortunately many ulama are also falling prey to. So that is not acceptable at all. That Islam is required, which was given to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That Allah called Deen, and that Allah called Islam, not today's concept, which today Western universities, and they are forcing, for example, Muslim personal law. This is all engineered in the West, and they all want to bring Islamic, we want to bring Islamic law in confirmation with international law. That all women's rights, etc., women's freedom, etc., that it must be respected by Islam. That the Islam must change for their sake. And they use in such cunning and such sly ways how they get through to ulama also. And they make them also fall prey to all these things. So we have to understand this, that our deen, and another very, very important point related with this also. Many people want to have debates on deen. And this is a very good point of this, is what Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi says. Somebody wanted to debate with him about a certain point of deen. Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi refused. He says, I don't debate on deen. What Allah has revealed and what has come to us, we accept them all. We don't debate. This is not something, deen is not something to debate. So then he furthermore, Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi explained to him, see, in a debate, again, the person who is more, whether intelligent or cunning or sly or shrewd, whatever it is, he will present his argument. Like that court case, how that person presents his arguments. Right, so you present your argument like that, and I cannot respond. I haven't got that that intelligence which you have, that cunningness, that shrewdness. Some people are, how in arguments, how they prove, and lawyers are masters in this. How they prove all various things in this, it's unbelievable. And the court just wants a tangible, a logical explanation. That is all. Otherwise, if we listen, go and read, that what how lawyers without lying also, but how they present the case and that, and how they win the case. So, but the truth, reality is something else completely. How many people who are acquitted, but then the person who has been in him, he said, I'm acquitted in court, but by less court, I know that I'm guilty. No, my lawyer acquitted me, got me acquitted, he had the way of doing it. So if I haven't got that, in order to combat you and present my argument, and a rule of debate is that the one who wins the debate, then you also follow him. So you can be more cunning than me or sly, and you can convince me, and I don't have those results. I don't perhaps have the things present with me or how to present it. Also, like whenever I or this happens to all of us, we're having a discussion, we're having a debate, it happens common with the wife, you say something, afterwards you think I should have said that. I didn't think about it. My mind didn't go to that point. I should have said that point. And there are some people on the spur of the moment they got that point. And the way they nail you down, you know you are right, but the way he nails you at that point of ease, you just have to succumb to him. So you can win me in a debate and I have to follow you. Okay, I follow you now. We follow what you have, whatever your point was. After 2 months, 2 years, 20 years, another point person comes with the previous point again. And he proves us again more with his point again. And now we have to go back to that. Or he comes with a new idea again. Now we have to go, so continuously we're going to go to new ideas. So deen is not something to be debated. And we debate our things. Deen is not based on debates. Deen is based on Quran and Hadith. And there can be nothing more solid than Quran and Hadith. We have to see that who we have trusted in our heart, and Allah has made it that the true deen will be alive. And the true man of deen, the ulama, the mashayikh, the people who practice deen, etc., Allah will keep them alive till the day of death. And Allah will put it in your heart with sincerity. Like for one easy way, when a person doesn't want to accept Islam, you give him the da'wah, then you make dua, that oh Allah, whatever is the truth, and how many people, how Allah guided them, whether it was a dream, or whether who they met, etc., or what happened, or whatever, and Allah guided. So Allah has put that. So you seek the truth, not a debate, not to argue with people, and fight with people. So these are very, very important points. One is that Amr bin Ma'ruf is not in our jurisdiction generally. But what the deen to remind, and nasiha, to make nasiha and advice, that is our duty. So when things are going wrong, don't just say that, no, I become proud and I can't let people get away. If things are going wrong, I didn't speak because there will be trouble. No, speak in such a way that there isn't trouble. That large saanti mare or large yasu, that your stick doesn't break and you kill the snake also. Use that way, and Allah has given that purpose. And many people get it right like that. So when wrong things are happening in the family, today good people, ulama, pious people, jamaat people, but you see the children stressing, you see where the children are going frequently, haram education they are getting, wrong things, walima comes, nikah takes place, funerals, all wrong things take place. Now you can't just keep quiet also, and don't go and use a holier than thou attitude, and go and use an iron fist and try and stop it. But in a sutta, the least you can do is make dua. Sincerely in your heart, that Ya Allah, stop all this here, this music, and you can get up and go away from it. You can excuse yourself. So all these wrong things, we should stop it. And also, the proper understanding of deen, a person can only get when he stays with the people who have got, not from the knowledge of deen. From the knowledge of deen, I can assure you, just from knowledge, nobody can make two rakats of namaz. But when you just may stay with your small child, and you saw your mother making namaz, and you joined her, you learn namaz. All these things you will learn. You can never read Quran Sharif only that you say that I'll only follow the Sahaba. Who's going to teach you what is Alif and Ba? You have to accept that person who's going to teach you Alif, Ba, Ta, Ta. You can't become a doctor anything till you accept the person who teaches you ABC. all those basic things you have to follow somebody. And the person who is what your heart tells, this person has got proper deen in you. And nobody is a farishta and an angel either. When this person has got proper deen, you follow him, deen will come into you by sohbat. By the personalized content. That is how deen will come. It won't come from kitabs. Na kitabo se, namazo se, nazar se pehla. Deen hota hai, buzurgo ki nazar se pehla. What does buzurgo ki nazar mean? Buzurgo ki sohbat se. Deen pehla hota hai. Then you get the reality of deen. Otherwise, you easily become a Shia, a Qadiani, a Salafi. Anything else you will become. It's only with the sohbat that you can get the proper understanding of deen. May Allah give us all the Quran. It's not for us to become, but the object of that is for us. That is our Islam. That is why the purpose and the object of that, and that we must keep in mind. And also, when a person becomes that, he's making a pledge that I will make my Islam under the guidance of my Shaykh. And when the Shaykh makes his murid that, he is making a pledge, I will guide you. I will give you guidance. And the work is the share that can show you the direction. But to walk the road is yours. You'll have to go catch the bus, you'll have to catch the train or whatever else, or you'll have to go walking, whatever, all that you'll have to do. The share can only show you the direction. The share is not going to catch you and take you. You'll have to walk yourself. So whatever has to be done, and as a student, in the morning zikr is sufficient. And the other big ma'amul for a student to pay more attention to our studies, our sabaks and everything, make mutala, takrar, all that is our ma'amul. And zikr, what happens in the morning, is Yasin Sharif, the zikr of La ilaha illallah, who said for zikr majlis, that is sufficient. Afterwards, when you are finished, then you should ask for more detail, inshallah. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الذين يبايعونك إنما يبايعون الله يد الله فوق أيديهم فمن نكث فإنما ينكث على نفسه ومن أوفى بما عاهد عليه الله فسيؤتيه أجرا عظيما. وقال تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم المرء على دين خليله فلينظر أحدكم من يخالف. وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام المرء مع من أحب لفيه. Oh Allah, I make tawbah from kufr, from shirk, nifaq, hypocrisy, bid'ah, innovation, from all sins, major and minor, particularly the sense of the love of dunya, and being unmindful of akhirah, and from the sense of following my wants and desires, and being unmindful of the commandment of Allah, Allah. Jalla Jalla, Jalla Jalla.
Субтитры создавал DimaTorzok.